Il-warna sani tajab li l-kom semija ta' campus danua Eman Burċ, danua aħnawn. Nisperaw li tinsabu tajbin edizzjoni oħra tal-program aħnawn reġet tinsab maħna propju tini edizzjoni għal din l-skeda ta' s-sajf, skeda li propju issa u koll edha fl-aqwata ħaj kif missejna maċxar tal-ulju maċxar ta' s-sajf u jekedin tisemewna nisperaw li tukolkom u koll s-sajf mill-aqwa għada kolla li forse rutina għada sejra kifini nisperaw li dan il-program sejtikom ukoll kumpanija assija li ġejja sija li se jkollna diskussjoni oħra diskussjoni differenti minn ġimgħa l-oħra fejn ġimgħa l-oħra tkellimna dwar pubblikazzjoni ta' ktieb il-ġdid minn għaqda LGBT Press Gozu din il-ġimgħa għandna diskussjoni dwar nistgħu ngħidu b'mod differenti biċċa arti produzzjoni imtella miż-żgħażagħ parti minn riċerka partikolari. Però biex namlu dan u biex nifmu daqsxejn iktar dwar fuq xiex eżattament qed nitkellmu, miegħi għandi lil Alex Vein Inc. li huwa propju parti mit-tim tal-produzzjoni fejn flimkien miegħu se nkunu qegħdin nistaqsu għalfejn il-produzzjoni, għalfejn inħass il-bżonn li ssir issa propju fis-sena 2013 u anke fl-aħħar mill-aħħar x'inhuwa il-proċess kreattiv biex tidella produzzjoni bħal din. Alex, good afternoon. Thank you for being here with us, and I hope that you know we're ready for a good discussion. I mean, yeah. I've met you like before the program started, and we already talked for like a good 15 minutes. Just started, and the conversation kind of kept on flowing. For the benefit of our listeners, who's Alex? Who's the voice behind the microphone?
Thank you very much for having me, Eman. Nice to be here. Looking forward to an interesting discussion about everything that's going on in this play and in this research project. Yes, my name is Alex Veining. I'm an actor and theatre maker. I work full-time both on stage, on camera, but also as a writer, dramaturg, which is a different, a bit of a different role than director, and
I need a definition.
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting actually. Yeah, and as well, I'm the producer of an artistic director of True Ink Productions, which is a new theatre production house we launched just last year, and our focus is on creating theatre productions on a professional or semi-professional level that are focused on the kind of stories that young people in Malta, usually we say between 16 and 25, want to see and want to engage with and are excited to kind of be immersed in and excited about.
Do, like 16 to 25 year olds, are they interested in the arts?
I mean, they are, definitely. I think we always feel like it's the kind of thing, like there is the cliche, that teatro, you know, theatre people, blah, 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 blah. The reality is, theatre is there for stories. Theatre is there for experiences. You kind of learn about characters and relationships and go on these adventures that, you know, connect to human realities, human experiences. Sometimes they're just fun, they're funny, they're relatable, exciting. There's so much audio-visual experimentation that you can do on stage, and this is all stuff, I mean, especially on the audio-visual and, like, narrative elements that young people are obsessed with. I mean, Netflix, even kind of online television, film. It's all there. Obviously, with theatre, there is a heightened experience. You're there with people. It's a social environment because you go and you have a drink or you have food before or after. It's a communal experience. What we've always felt like, but in recent years, is that if you're not telling the stories that young people want to see, that they can relate with, that they can be entertained by, and in the ways that young people want to engage with and want to be entertained by, then yeah, that at that point they're not going to be interested, obviously, because you're not telling stories that matter to them. But if you do, then they have a way in. Then there's a barrier to access that's gone. and they feel like, okay, this is a story that I want to dig my teeth into. I want to chew on, hence our name Chewing.
I was going to ask that at some point. But you mentioned the cliché of that theater, exactly. Theater people. Isn't the cliché coming from some sort of a reality? Like, I used to be involved in theater quite actively when I was in Gozo. And yes, that label, that identity of exactly. That theater, that you're a theater kid, that you need to fit a certain stereotype or a certain image, that is quite frankly something that that enhances this cliché. Wouldn't that be a reality also for Malta when you have so many few people that are actually active in the arts in general?
Yeah, no, it definitely is a reality. I think, I mean, in a sense, being a quote-unquote theater kid all my life, I've been hearing that kind of that argument of that there are so few of us kind of all my life. And part of me agrees, but part of me disagrees in the sense that, especially this year, luckily, shows have been selling out. There are big audiences. The quality of artistic, like the artistic quality on this island is outstanding. I just watched Dikis Jafnafsatre yesterday for the second time. And I mean, just the quality is insane. And I don't know, my experience, my opinion, I am seeing audiences growing. I am seeing young audiences growing. Is it enough to sustain things, quote unquote, professionally? That's a, to be honest, a whole other discussion. Maybe not for today. I don't know. It's a whole other discussion. But it is based on reality. Yes, that, you know, theater people, if you train, you become interested in it, or if you, as a kid, went to your youth groups, your stagecoach, masquerade, SOPA, even kind of other kind of local community groups. Then obviously you become more interested in it. But it doesn't belong to them. And I think that is what we're trying to do. Like, you don't need to be a theater person to go to a show, even if you see one show a year, two shows a year, three. Honestly, because there are about 25 plus per year, yeah. You know? Yeah. You don't need to necessarily belong to that community to go and enjoy a show, because what we're saying is a show, like I said, is a social experience, a story, audio-visual experience. You don't need to belong to a community to get in there. You just need to be invited. You just need to have a way
what
in.
What makes a show a show? Then what makes it a show that is, from your perspective, from someone who's working on this, well, on a full-time basis, you know, you're consumed by it, may I say.
Yes.
What makes a show that you're like, this is worthy of going to see, this is worthy on producing? For what's your opinion on that?
I mean, that's a super subjective question. I'll answer it from the perspective, actually, of what we're learning from our research project.
Right.
So our research project is, like, the full title in some ways, Pastet Shahbat, Investigating Audience Engagement and Theatre Making Strategies for Young People in Malta. It's co-funded by the Arts Council Malta from the Project Research and Development Scheme. And basically our research question was, listen, we've talked about this elusive 16 to 25-year-old age group for years. Myself and my collaborator, Gianluca Mifsut, we belong to that age group as well, but we're both 24. But rather than saying, okay, we're 24, we know what young people want, we said, like, no, let's actually have a conversation with people. Let's have a conversation with people who do see one show a year, zero shows a year, you know, and see, like, what makes it worth it for you? What interests you as an audience member, not as a actor or whatever, as an audience member, someone who's going to eventually buy a ticket and sit in that seat and enjoy a story and experience? What is exciting for you? And that is kind of where the project started. We've had a survey out for a few weeks and we've gotten some fantastic responses. We held some interviews and a focus group as well. And that really kind of was the conversation, like, actually the question that you just asked me of, like, what makes a show worth watching, that's exactly what we asked young people, whether they've seen a show 10 times a year or zero times a year. Obviously, the research project is still ongoing, but what kind of generally we've understood at the moment none of it necessarily was surprising, but it's good that we now like kind of have the conversation and have the quote-unquote evidence, is that young people want to see themselves on stage, like stories that are relatable to them, coming of age, family, friendship, career, kind of in that in-between space of university's death, you know, kind of those kind of stories. They want it to be super audiovisual, again, not surprising for like Gen Z, our generation, lots of music, lots of crazy visuals with the set and the costume and the lights and whatever, but they want it to be, and they want it to be kind of creative, so, I mean, that's kind of a misnomer, you know, like a exciting world, a different world, perhaps to our own, but at the same time, what we're seeing as well is that they want the heart of it to be grounded in reality, to be grounded in, yeah, in a truth, in a human truth, which again, not surprising, it's just important to keep this in mind, you know.
It's very interesting that what you're saying is that in order for you and for the team to understand what makes a show, in reality, you're asking the audience, you're going there, you're understanding the profile, and then you're presenting something that is relatable.
Yep.
What's the process, the creative process, the technical process from behind the scenes, not only the writing, but sound, lighting, etc., to convey, to convert such data into a production, which is quite from an outsider, I imagine it's quite a challenge.
It is a challenge, but it's one that, you know, is the most fulfilling. Chewing really was all about this from the get-go. Again, because of this conversation we're having right now, which kind of has been had for a long time, myself and Gianluca were kind of sick of it, and we're like, okay, let's address it then.
Yeah.
We are entering our professional years now. We were just finishing university about 2-3 years ago. Like, let's be the change on this. So we were quite committed to that mission. In terms of Pasetra, but kind of a different story in the sense that that's actually a play that I was writing with another collaborator, Kurt Gabriel Merley. That is something that we had been writing for years, all the way back to 2019.
Okay.
But the impulse was exactly the same. It's like, when was the last time that we saw on a professional level a coming-of-age story about Malta, about Maltese youths living in 2019? We all know that year, even before the pandemic, was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we went on everything that's been going on the past 3 years. This is a moment. Young people are living in a Malta that is, in a sense, going through its own coming-of-age experience. It's angsty. It doesn't really know who it is, what it is. It's having arguments with its parents, you know, like the older generation, and even intergenerational arguments. That is something that is a reality of young people today, and let's dig into that. So that is kind of where the on a creative level, on a narrative level, that is where our impulse was, and we kind of dug into that for now, going on 4 years.
I'll take it a bit of a step back before we go to Pastis Shahbat, which is even the name in itself. I really would like to go into it, but in terms of your experience, so and also the experience of working in an environment which is such a competitive environment. I feel like the art itself, for you to make it in a professional level, you have to always take it a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be complacent in what you're doing. Is that something that Malta in itself, and I think I'm linking also to the production here, but Malta in itself can offer you to keep on improving your own skills, to keep on improving your productions, your creative outlets? Are they enough? And I ask this because I know a number of friends that most probably we share common friends that are studying abroad.
Mm-hmm.
What gives?
Again, kind of very relevant questions that like have been asked time and time again, and there's always this kind of ongoing discussion, which is good, which is the point of it. I've been fortunate. I feel like my training here, first of all, it never came from one place specifically. So I studied here at the University of Malta, but I also got kind of private training with a bunch of youth theatres, so Studio 18, FM Youth Theatre, Roaring Voices, Teatro Salesiani, etc., etc., etc. So I had a lot of kind of training outside. And again, like I was saying before, the quality is there. It's really, really there. And you get the training you need. You just need to kind of find the right people, which, to be honest, not too hard to find. They're like, again, there's a lot of super talented educators and teachers and theatre groups and whatnot. And then you just want to, you need to want to make a change.
So do we have like some sort of an inferiority complex? Like, do we have some sort of a complex that we believe?
We do.
like well, Malta. It's not, you know.
We
it's do. Not good
we keep all. we keep complaining about, yeah, about this, like, and that. Like,
right.
The quality is there. The quality is there, and I'm going to keep repeating it just because I am so passionate about this. You just have to go and see the work that's being done on all levels. I mean, yes, there's always going to be people that don't do it very well, always, you know, but it's there, and you just need to find the right people. You need to want it. And why, for example, I mean, yes, I did have training abroad. I went for a year on Erasmus. I was in Dublin. I want to do my master's abroad, but that's in no way because what I've got here is not enough. It's just because obviously you learn a lot more. You learn more by going and studying.
Different perspective, elsewhere. I can assure
exactly. But for me, it's always a matter of, it's not being a brain drain. It's bringing that training and that experience back to here and making the difference here and making change here. Again, sort of themes that we kind of explore in Pasta Shahbat, but it's about contributing to what's going on here and impacting lives here. And that is something that I've always been passionate about, and I'm happy that I feel like we're doing that through chewing as well.
And we've been mentioning these themes that are being discussed in this. It's a new production.
It is, yes. It is. I mean, it's been
4 years, right?
We thought of it in 2019. I approached Kurt, and maybe I'll talk about that collaboration a bit later. But because it's kind of an interesting collaboration, and we just started writing it. At one point, we got the support of some of my old training group, which was Studio 18. They like supported us by helping us devise it, which means like develop an idea. Then in 2020, when the pandemic started, Teatro Malta released the Teatro Deposit Scheme, which was basically like a support system where you pitch them projects and they support certain projects so that artists have kind of work throughout the pandemic. And we pitched Pasta Shahbat, and Simon Bartolo, who is a wonderful writer and playwright, kind of mentored us for about a year and a half as we wrote this thing. At that point, it kind of ended with us.
Uh-huh.
And then about after a small hiatus with Chewing, we proposed it as part of this research project, connected to everything that we've been discussed of understanding what young audiences want and blah, 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 blah. We realized that the themes of the play and these questions that we were asking aligned. So we created this research project about it. So now, 5 years later, we're finally doing a staging of it.
How was the process of getting mentorship or having a conversation, an ongoing conversation with Simon Bartolo, who's, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant writers
there is.
From your perspective, to be there and just to have your work being positively criticized, do this. From your experience, what does that give you? What do you take out of it now this production is taking?
That is something as well that is luckily happening more and more in recent years. And again, it's kind of what makes good art good art. You need to give it time. You need to give it guidance from people that are not there to just give advice and then run away. Like Simon was a perfect example of, he got in to the script and the characters and the relationships with us, and with his many years of writing experience, contributed to that and developed that. So again, that's kind of, it does make all the difference, finding the right support, the right avenues for research and development to get an idea and not just leave it as an idea, or rather take that idea, write it quickly, okay, that's it, the script is done, ciao, right. Yeah, let's go stage it, because that is how you get mediocre stuff, that is how you get unrefined stuff. If you give it its time, if you get the support system, like we had with Simon and Teatro Malta and even Studio 18 before that, and now even with the team that we have on board now, then you develop something that you hope, we hope, but we are confident in that it will make an impact, you know?
And we'll talk about, because let's go into the collaboration with Carrot. Let's go into how that came about. Why Carrot? Like, what is Carrot offering, and for the benefit of our listenership? Before that, like what? How did this come about? Basically,
no, it is a collaboration that I really hold close to my heart. I never expected it to kind of last for so long. I hope there's a future to it as well. But so Carrot and I are close friends. We met at junior college about. Okay. I don't know, 7-8 years ago now.
JC days.
JC days, exactly. I'm not a languages person. I understand Maltese just fine. I don't speak it very well, hence why we're talking in English. But he is a language guru.
Yes.
Speaks Maltese, English, French. He works as an interpreter. But yeah, I also kind of recognized in him an incredible artistic soul, an incredible like poetic soul, across all languages, and that was a thing that interested me. Going back to what I said before of like how I work as a dramaturg, I guess this was the beginning of it. I had an idea for a play, for characters, for a story, but I don't have an approach to language, especially an approach to both Maltese and English, that someone like Carrot has. So I approached him. We have, again, the part of the play is about kind of the different experiences of young people in Malta growing up in different places, the different languages that we speak, the different social backgrounds, etc., etc. And his perspective was very interesting to me. So I just kind of, we started this conversation, and in a sense, it hasn't stopped. And we're actually now at the same time, it's crazy, but at the same time we're doing this, we're currently working on another play, which I'll just talk about briefly because it's an interesting project, with the European Theatre Convention.
Okay.
There was a project called Young Europe 4, which again ties into this thing that we've been talking about of creating theatre for young people, not just creating theatre and then saying, ha, young people, they are out, you know, go watch it. Like, no, it's creating it for them. And the theme was unheard voices.
Okay.
And they approached me and Carrot, and we're kind of developing this other play now around this theme. It's called Guts. I don't know, maybe that's a conversation for another time. Guts.
I legit wrote it with a zero.
And kind of that's another great thing. But what's been beautiful, so we've had Ruth Borge, again, another mentor, talk about important mentors and great mentors. Ruth has been with us, helping us develop that play. But again, kind of similar thing where he has a wonderfully poetic, but also really grounded approach to character and language and storytelling. And that is something that I really resonate with. My kind of role in all of it is to, as dramaturg, is to think about how this works as theatre rather than as language.
Right.
So what about the page to stage aspect, you know, like taking it, like how is it going to translate? I think of structure, I think of story, I think of character. He does the same. But then kind of then he goes and deals with the words, you know. And I feel like we've written two really interesting contemporary Maltese plays for young people aged 16 to 25. Guts is going to be at post-secondary school, so sixth forms next year, which is something that is rare but needs to happen more often.
We'll plug it when it comes, don't worry.
So it's a wonderful collaboration that I'm really happy with the art that we're creating. I think it's the exact kind of art that both of us want to make. And we're looking forward to seeing it have the impact that it should have.
What's So, Pastitsrapat is going to be held this Friday.
Yes, 14 July.
14 July. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go for a quick music break.
Sure.
And then we'll go, we'll come back to delve a little bit into the production itself.
Yep.
And we'll just see where that's going to take us. I'm going to let you, I'm going to let you take a bit of a break because I know it's also quite an interesting conversation.
For sure.
And, we're touching on things which are also part of the production, and I promise the listeners, we did not plan this. So we're going to go for a music break. We're going to listen to Some Youths. This is Mickey Maggio featuring Jolene Saman and Sean Axisa, and the music piece Place.
Thank you.
Mickey Maggio featuring Jolene Saman and Shona Tsisa plays musika minn Malta mek musika minn Għawdex il komplement tal-muzika dejjem fu Campus 103.7 fejn u koll ma Tony Santin kunu għet insegwu l-program Muzika 21 li għal din l-iskeda propju għet ikun kun l-arta t-nejn f-nofsinar propju il-ħin ta' nofsinar għonek fu Campus FM. Minfakkarkom li dan il-program ikun repetut is-sibt fil-distata fil-ħodu fejn emmek jisir il-repozizjoni ta' dan il-programm. Entom ukoll tistgħu tkunu parteċipi għal din id-diskussjoni billi tibatulna SMS jew il-kummenti tagħkom fuq WhatsApp fuq in-numru 7734-1037 hija il-frekwenza ta' dan l-istazzjoni allura faċli biex tiftakru wkoll ġvera. Mela, se nkomplu din il-diskussjoni we have Alex with us from Chewing Production and we're talking about the arts, theater productions, what a dramologist, what was the word?
Dramaturg.
Dramaturg, what a dramaturg is, and basically also access to youth, to productions for youth and productions being developed specifically for a youth audience. Yeah. And it's very interesting that even during the musical break, we were discussing a little bit also on the role that social media has. Yeah. On accessing information of where these productions are. And we're mentioning how, yes, social media is a good tool, but social media nowadays is bombarded with everything and at the same time with nothing.
With nothing,
because,
yeah.
Because you're just getting inundated with so much material, so much adverts. That impact of having a young person, we're experiencing that as well on mm-hmm. social media. And then Chewing Production comes along and we go like, okay, we have this production, pass it to Shabbat. Do you choose social media as your mode of marketing?
Yeah. So again, going back to kind of the research project, not necessarily shocking results, but just very right. interesting to see it kind of in black and white. The top two platforms for where they get information about what the question we asked was along the lines of on which platforms do you get information about social and or cultural events, so not necessarily theater alone but kind of anything. And we listed a bunch of online and offline avenues. The top two were Instagram and Facebook. Again, kind of not surprising. Another point that was made is that kind of what is the most likely aspect to deter you from watching a show, and they said lack of information
okay.
and unattractive marketing. And then later on we asked like something along the lines of what is attractive marketing to you, and they say something that is with clear information, super strong visuals, super high quality visuals and graphic design. So photography and graphic design and video and editing have to be top notch, otherwise they're not interested. Again, none of this was shocking, but it does kind of spur the conversation of like you were saying, there's so much on there all the time, and not only is there so much on there all the time, there is like echo chambers, right? The famous right. algorithms yes. and whatever. Yes. So I work full time in theater, so I know every show that is happening because on my Instagram and on my Facebook, okay. because okay. I like them or whatever, I'm good at getting the information, even sponsored ads or whatever. Facebook and Instagram know because of my activity that's what I'm interested in, and it pushes that. Someone that is outside of the, and this goes back to what we were saying of quote unquote theater people, and it's a struggle, but it kind of we're trying to challenge it and work our way through it, is that if they don't follow any pages and they don't like any pages and blah blah blah, and they're not showing the algorithm that this is what they're interested in, then they never hear about it. So then it becomes like the self-fulfilling prophecy yeah, or whatever, yeah, you know, yeah, 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 that yeah. they never hear about the show.
It's a very vicious loop, is it?
Very vicious loop.
I mean, how do you break away from something that is yours, like, as in that is your quote-unquote safe space?
Exactly.
I have a personal experience on this one. As an LGBT activist, I used to be asked, but do you still experience homophobia? And at first glance, my automatic answer was no.
Mm.
Why? Because the people I have on Facebook, the people I have on Instagram, are individuals who have the same experiences as me, the same viewpoint. They're not necessarily going to challenge what I am putting out there. Then when you start getting an article on the Times of Malta, an interview on whatever, then, of course, you're breaking a little bit that echo chamber.
Yeah.
And you'll start getting these, I mean, till today, still
there's
a number of comments. So that in itself is, firstly, I like kind of respect for you all on being aware of it. Because it takes quite a lot of soul searching to be aware that you're in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Because it can be very comfortable.
Yeah.
But then it's also to do something about it.
Yeah. We don't want to stay in an echo chamber because then we're just, it's the classic of preaching to the converted.
Yes.
We're just telling the same stories to the same people over and over again. And what we're chewing, we think about a lot is, again, but the theater community is so small, right? And perhaps it is relative to everything else, but the arts and culture community in Malta is not small. What about all the book writers and the poets and the musicians and the visual artists and the dancers, the hip-hop dancers, the ballet dancers, the contemporary dancers? There is a massive, massive arts and culture. I don't even want to call it a community. Of course, it's a community, but it's people. You know, they're just people. And obviously, they're not all going to be interested in the exact same shows. They're not, but still, making them aware of it, making them feel like this production is attractive to them, exciting to them, relatable to them, interesting to them. You know. That is something that we always want to be working on, because we always want to give more and more people these unique experiences.
You said same theater productions to the same people. Well, Pasit Shabbat is completely different.
Perhaps, yes.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. What's perhaps different to it? I believe it's different.
So, Pasit Shabbat, I guess, really the simple like kind of pitch is that it's... it's a group of 8 young people in Malta from very different backgrounds. Some speak Maltese, some speak English, some are from the north, some are from the south, some like ricotta pastizzi, some like piselli pastizzi, hence kind of that's the beginning of where that title comes from. But Kurt and I were very interested in the endless dichotomies that we're told Malta has. This political party, that political party, this football club or band club, that blah, 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 blah. For you're an expat, you're a foreigner, or you're Maltese, like a pure Maltese, you know? You're pure Maltese because you speak Maltese, or you're inbred or whatever because you speak English or whatever. Like, all these dichotomies, and we're kind of sick of it. We're kind of sick of it. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people, I don't even just say young people, but people in general, that are sick of being told that they need to be one thing or another, that it's binary, that they have to choose. So we wanted to create a story about young people in 21st century Malta dealing with these binary divisions and figuring out on a kind of a coming of age type of story that they can forge their own path. They can pick a third or even fourth or even fifth choice. You know, they can define themselves for who they are, whether that goes against family values, community or club values, you know, in the sense like if you have a different sense of identity, walk that path, find it, go on it.
I mean, you say 16 to 25 year old. As a 28 year old, I relate so much to this. And it's such this binary concept, this division within. For me, I experienced it. For example, I'm not sure if it's gonna be in the production. I'm from Gozo, so that in itself has a whole other
aspect to it.
The language, English versus Maltese, are you Maltese if you speak in English? We're having this conversation in English. Is that something that will be in the production?
It is. I mean, again, the way Kurt and I work is I find really interesting and really freeing because I understand Maltese just fine, but my spoken Maltese is not great. He knows all the languages. But we have our meetings, our writing discussions, literally in Maltese and English. So I will be talking in English, he will be replying to me in Maltese, and we just go back and forth. And again, that's not shocking, that's not scandalous, that is like how our country works, not like nowadays, because we have
both of these
languages. And if we stop thinking of that as a binary and just think of it as a reality, then we can have really interesting conversations in both languages and develop really interesting art in both languages. So that's something that
we put a disclaimer. Kurt is the person who proofreads my posts.
Yes, yes.
Just to put it out there. mad respect to Kurt.
Okay.
And he calls me out when I do a mistake. Of course, this whole production takes some sort of a creative element.
Yes, big time.
I know we've talked about taking it from a page on stage, but specifically for Pastit Shabbat, the audience, what can they expect?
Yeah. So like I was saying before, so this group of 8 young people from all over and all these different opinions, and so it's set in Malta in the near future. To us, as we've been writing it, it's like becoming less and less future and more reality, but it is set in the near future. So there's a science fiction, like technology element to it. And in summer, this character, Andrew, he's sick of Malta, he's leaving, he's going to go study abroad because he's in a position he can do that. His friend, Mike, who's half German and doesn't speak Maltese, organizes a farewell trip with a bunch of other friends. There's John, who's the son of a big developer, like a construction developer.
There's
Lara, who is a university activist, and her girlfriend Anne, who is an expat from France. They meet in some way.
Loved it.
No. So I have all these different kind of character experiences. They go on a trip called Sharabaganza, which is Sharabank Uvaganza.
Sharabaganza,
which is basically, it's an old Maltese bus that has been converted into a virtual reality experience. And the people who run the bus is basically, it used to belong to someone's nannu, Spiro Buttigieg, whatever, and his grandsons, Isaac and Kieran, who are cousins, they run the bus and whatever. And then there's Brittany as well, who is Kieran's girlfriend. So we have kind of all these various different camps, and they're making their way onto this bus. This bus is run by artificial intelligence, so it basically, I mean, very high concept, I know, going into super like
this
sci-fi
is very
stuff.
Interesting.
But it basically, we always have this conversation of like, what kind of Malta do you want? What does it look like? What does it feel like?
Right.
This bus kind of understands what kind of Malta you want as a user, and then connects you to this virtual reality where you get to live in the Malta you want. But they have a massive argument because you have all of these opinions that they don't agree with each other and blah, 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 blah. And they're having this binary argument. It creates a malfunction in the bus.
All right.
And boom, blackout. And then we are into this. And then kind of the second part of the show is we are in this virtual reality and we meet a lot of different characters that we think are friends, but are actually like these weird malfunctions. There's a Malta which is all greenery and all forests and everything that people who want Malta to look like that look like. There's a scene where we're in a giant city with 20,000 Mercury towers and super skyscrapers and whatever. There's a Malta that looks, in the play, it's described as if Popeye Village had a sequel. So it's like Nadur and Meliha and all combined and looking beautiful. Anyway, and the characters are lost in this world and they need to figure out their own coming of age experiences, their own disagreements with each other, and kind of try to work together to find a way out of this VR experience.
Whew, that is positively breathtaking. And I say that is because through it, it's such a relatable conversation. I don't even think that only youths are having, like,
a lot
of people. Like, I think everyone is having.
Yeah, like I was saying before, it's like it feels like Malta's having its own coming-of-age experience, whether you're 40, 50, 60, whatever, you know, like there are elements of humanity that you can relate to when seeing the experience of a 20-year-old, 18-year-old on stage.
Please take this as a compliment.
Thank
but
you.
I think this is a brilliant production that we need right now. It should definitely get more space for it to be heard. And it's making me resemble it to a 1990s TV show, Ahnaneo Manish.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you know about it.
I know the title, I'm not too
it
sure.
It was a group of youths on a bus. Completely different concept, though, but they get lost.
Amazing.
And what's interesting for me, that this kind of journey, and the one of the production people was Pepe Azzopardi, of Sharabang.
Sharabang.
You know, for it in itself, the fact that there's, and that's why you take it as a compliment, because that TV show changed the fabric of Malta.
Amazing.
And the Sharabank changed the fabric of Malta. Positively or negatively, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of responsibility I'm putting on you guys. But it's also something which it always makes me positively, it makes me energetic.
Mm-hmm.
It really, and the reason why is, from a perspective, so I used to study in Berlin, right? And when I used to study in Berlin, it's a cultural hub, you know? There's
mm-hmm.
everything for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you say, Malta, Maushin, there's nothing in Malta. Is there no production? We go back to the first point that we had.
It's
just like, yes, there is. There is for youths. Youths are making this for youths.
Yeah.
Like, it's a youth production through and throughout.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious to see the costumes. I'm very curious to see this. It's also going to happen on campus.
Yep. Yeah, so kind of bit of a good kind of caveat here is that because of everything I just described, that is a very high production value kind of concept. And because this production forms part of the the research project, what we're presenting is actually, it's not necessarily a full production again,
right?
Because what I just described will require 200
massive
sets and projections and probably a score, and it's a cast of 11, so there are actually 11 characters. Anyway, basically that takes a lot of money. And while the Arts Council has co-funded the project for the research project, this forms part of it. And what we'll be presenting is actually what's called a semi-staged reading. So there will be scripts in hand, and we're going to be around the table. But that's not going to detract from the immersiveness element of it.
That's even better.
Yeah.
For me, that's even better. Because it's going to allow the audience to create their own.
Yes, so that is exactly what we're going for. It's like, it's all about kind of imagination and getting lost in this world.
Perfect.
So like, we're going to have some projections of like these AI images and kind of some soundscapes of like where we are. We're kind of describing it as like a Dungeons and Dragons role playing game experience.
So
so the idea is that anyway, it'll be in the round.
Yeah.
So there'll be audience on all four sides and a table in the middle, and the 11 actors around this table in costume and kind of with good lighting and with scripts and whatever, and we just get lost in this world, and they will be performing and acting kind of at full force, even if with scripts in hand and even if sitting down. But the idea is we're getting lost in this world and lost in this story, and quite a story and adventure that it is. Will Pastor Shabbat have a 30,000-40,000 euro production one day? We hope so, but I mean, it's like I said, the production requirements are quite high. But we're here, the story is still going to be just the same, just as exciting, just as crazy and funny and authentic. So we're looking forward to doing just that.
Well, at the beginning you said if there's one person who's even not a person that isn't, I'm hooked. Like, I'm there, you know, just like, it is first, it's such a clever way how to do it. And it does, listen, art does not need to be 30,000-40,000 euros.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true, it doesn't.
And this is what art is all about.
Yeah.
From the very little information I know and I have, this is what art should be.
It
should
be. It's about the stories,
the
experience. You know. Exactly.
And you said it yourself at the beginning, it's a social
experience.
It's a social moment.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more social than being in a circle.
That's great, yeah.
Immersing yourself with the production itself.
Yep.
So kudos on that for being true to yourself from A to Z.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward for this. Just a little bit more details on how the audience can buy the tickets. How can they see
exactly.
What's happening?
So it's this Friday, 14th July, at the KSU Common Room, so just on campus, at Students House. It's at 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
Tickets are only €5.
Perfect.
And they can be bought. Another element of, again, young people were saying, like, maybe don't charge me €25 to go see a show, you know?
Which
is totally fair. So it's just €5 tickets from chitzo.com.
All right.
That's C-H-I-T-Z-O. It's an online, like, local ticketing app and so on. And it will be about 90 minutes, so from 7:30 to 9, more or less. If the concept has interested you, I'm sure the performance will interest you even more.
I'm interested. We were going to the Luna Park on Friday, but now we're going to push it back and we're going to go see this.
Fair enough.
I mean, Luna Park, art production, definitely art production is going
to
win.
You can do both, to be honest.
Well, I suggest we'll do both,
exactly.
To be honest. Is it a Maltese or in English?
It's both.
It's both. There you go.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to ask.
That's an element.
That's the trick of it.
Again, if we have these characters, some speak Maltese, some speak English, some speak both, we're portraying their reality as truthfully as possible. So it's there's also a bit of French in there because we have a character Anne who is from France, you know.
Okay.
So
all right,
that's the Malta we live in, you know. So
that's true. Perfect. Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you, Emma.
Good luck with everything that you're going to do. And I, you know what, I do, it's a one night thing.
It is a one night only
so
thing,
if
yes.
Anyone is interested, this Friday is the day. You should go visit it at Common Room at 7:30 at chitzo.com for the tickets. And I hope we'll keep in touch, and if
for
there's
sure.
any other production like Guts, we can always talk about it in the future. And by that, it's time to conclude the program. Thank you, Alex, and
thank
good
you,
luck
Emma.
To you and to the whole production team for what is definitely going to be an amazing production this coming Friday. U ekku kifu wasalna fit-tmiem ta' dan il-programm, ningrazzjaw lil Alex, ningrazzjaw lilkom semija, għidulna x'taħsbu intom dwar l-arti, dwar il-kultura f'Malta, għidulna intom x'taħsbu wkoll dwar l-esperjenza ta' Żgħażagħ f'dak li qegħdin jagħmlu huma wkoll biex ikomplu itibu l-arti f'Malta. Tistgħu tagħmlu dawn billi tibatulna fuq 7734-1037 u nfakkarkom li dan il-programm issa ikun repetut nhar is-sibt fid-disa' ta' filgħodu, hux vera, ħalli intom ukoll tkunu tistgħu il-produzzjoni tkun għaddiet, però żgur li l-konverzazzjoni se tibqa' waħda fattwali. Il-ġimgħa d-dieħla programm interessanti se jkollna magħna lil Jacob u l-Margaret se nitkellmu dwar l-awtiżmu. Xi tfisser li tgħix bl-awtiżmu? Ir-realtà ta' persuna li jgħix bl-awtiżmu hawnhekk fuq aħna. Sal-ġimgħa d-dieħla, Eman Burċ isellmilkom.